Life on the Dal was dangerous. We lived in fear of everything. Spirits, sickness, famine, wolves and bears. That spring, there was less sickness and famine, and more wolves and bears. The Book of Brin.
Wraith had always gotten along better with animals than people. In Doria, some of the less aggressive wolves made a living off discarded scraps. They were tolerated because their yipping warned when trouble came to visit. As a boy, he had grown fond of many of them, but few had been as friendly and none so large as Minna. In Doria, animals didn't grow big for the same reason the people didn't smile. A lack of everything. Wraith and Minna were friends from the moment they met, and he held a similarly high opinion of Suri, who reminded him of his younger sister, the only sibling he loved. That she was a mystic, despite her young age, was astounding to him. Mystics were about as common as two-headed unicorns. The few who existed lived apart from the world of humankind, remaining untainted by influence and corruption. Having a wolf as her best friend demonstrated the sort of wisdom he appreciated. Persephone was another matter. He couldn't decide about her. He guessed her to be about 10 years older than himself, attractive for her age. But she had been a chieftain's wife, the worst sort of woman, and he hadn't liked the way she'd tried to manipulate him earlier. Using others was the way of those who slept in lodges. They thought nothing of deciding the lives of others. Then there were the three men who had tried to kill her. That sort of thing didn't happen by accident. If people wanted you dead, there was likely a reason. Also, she had acted stupidly on the Cascade, risking her life for a man who had tried to kill her. Still, it showed more decency than he would have expected, which gave him pause. So did the fact that she'd spoken to him, a Dorian, with respect. Such behavior would have been unusual from a farmer's wife, but she had been married to a chieftain and lived in a wealthy Dal. Although it was easy to assume her actions were designed to beguile, there was a genuineness about her. Wraith was far from worldly and no expert when it came to the ways of powerful women, but he'd always been able to tell the wolves that would bite from the ones that wouldn't. Minna settled next to him, nuzzling his leg.
Minna, that's no way to act. You just met him.
She's friendly.
He bent down and scrubbed the wolf's coat.
No, she's not. Are you, Minna?
Suri smirked at the wolf, then shrugged.
All right, from here, follow the ridge back the way you came.
Persephone, who was still staring back at the old oak, turned sharply.
Wait, you're not coming with us?
No, ma'am. I live over that way.
She pointed through the blur of trees.
But I thought you came to the Dal to stay.
Did you hear that, Minna? She's a strange one. We only came to tell you the news. Then there was the whole business of waiting on the trees to wake up, but that's done. You have your answer, so we can go home.
Suri took a few bounding steps, causing Minna to leap from Wraith's side and chase after her. This made the girl grin.
Still likes me best.
She stopped and looked up at the sky.
Better be quick, ma'am. Night appears to be in an awful hurry.
Then, without so much as a wave, the girl ran off, the wolf chasing her through the trees.
Goodbye. And thank you.
She continued to stare until the mystic vanished, being swallowed by the green, then looked back at the big oak.
That's it. I nearly die and all I get are riddles. Ugh. And not even good ones.
Wraith wasn't certain if she was speaking to him, the tree, or herself. Unfolding Wraith's Laymore, she pulled it over her head like a hood and looked around, settling on a path.
This way, I guess.
Wraith followed her through the trees, following the faint trail they made in the patches of grass on the way in. Malcolm was slow to join them, lingering a little by himself.
If we hurry, we can have a hot meal. Sarah is working her way through a ewe that Delwyn butchered. I've lived with them since my husband's death, and I'm sure you'd be welcomed. Do you two like mutton? She's down to the shank, which isn't the best,
but... It sounds like a holiday feast.
I take it you're hungry.
Famished, good lady, famished. We've been living on a sparse diet of nuts, mushrooms, and the rare squirrel or rabbit, which between us doesn't amount to much more than a bite or two.
Back up on the ridge, they traveled in a line. The light cut through the gaps at a sharp angle. Trunks and plants were splashed with brilliant gold, and long shadows stretched out from the base of every tree.
I've heard of your husband. You say he was old.
Over 60 years.
But you're not so old.
Thank you.
Persephone glanced back at him.
I think.
I'm just saying, your husband was a lucky man. Not only did he live a long time, but he was blessed with a young wife.
I've not known Dorian men to be so charming.
Ah.
Persephone turned to peer at the slender man marching along at the rear of their parade.
Why do you laugh?
Wraith isn't what most would describe as charming.
How would you know?
I've been with you night and day for who knows how long now, and you've never struck me as charming.
You're not a beautiful woman.
Beautiful? Charming or not, you are certainly most kind. But there must be a terrible shortage of girls in Doria if you...
Persephone froze in place, and her hand flew to her mouth in horror.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean...
She bit her lower lip in agony. Malcolm looked at Wraith with a bewildered expression as the three stood silently.
What?
Persephone's embarrassment slowly shifted to surprise.
You don't know?
Know what?
She shook her head.
Doria, the Frey... They destroyed Doria, and we think Nadak as well.
Wraith stared at her, puzzled. People often said things with little thought behind them. Those who talked a lot were the most prone to the practice. Persephone might be one of those, but she didn't seem the sort to lie, and there would be no point in making up such a thing.
What are you talking about?
A group of men from Nadak came to Wren. They said they saw it themselves. The Frey killed everyone. They burned the villages as well as the Dal.
Wraith tried to picture such a thing in his mind. The gods had never attacked Doria before, but he found it disturbingly easy to imagine. He looked to Malcolm.
Is this possible? Would they do that?
I expected them to come after us, not your people. But I suppose it's possible.
How many villages? Which ones?
His question made her cringe.
All of them. The report I heard said...
What?
They found no survivors. None. You might be the last living Dorian.
Wraith walked away. He had a vague sense of trudging down the ridge with them following. He wanted to think, needed to think, but couldn't. Once, when Herkimer had been training him, Wraith was struck in the head with a wooden mallet. He'd collapsed, but was still conscious, his father looming above. Herkimer yelled, but Wraith couldn't hear. The words were faint and muffled, Wraith's thoughts lost in a fog. That's how he felt now. The world had stopped, and when it started again, his first thought was that Persephone must be mistaken. Doria couldn't be gone. As poor as they were, his people numbered in the thousands.
Wraith.
They lived in hundreds of settlements, from the Forks to the High Spear Valley. They couldn't all be gone.
Wraith.
Why would anyone destroy a place as insignificant as Klempton?
Wraith!
What?
Do you know where you're going?
When they had caught up to him, they continued along the ridge, but the hardwood trees had given way to spruce and cedar as the three plodded uphill.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
She looked at Wraith for a long moment.
We are going back to Dol Ren, right? I don't remember walking downhill at any point when we were on our way to the Oak.
Persephone looked around.
You're right, we didn't.
They were in the middle of an endless group of trees that were different from the ones Wraith remembered passing through earlier.
We should have turned off the ridge at some point, I think.
The world beneath the canopy was darkening. The conifers blocked more sun than the hardwoods, but not enough to account for the growing gloom. The piercing shafts of sun were gone, night was coming, and it was already hard to tell where one tree stopped and another began.
I suppose we should head back to where we started going up again, then we can...
Do you think that's Minna?
Came from the other way, out there.
She gestured to their left.
Maybe we should go this way.
Wraith and Malcolm followed briskly after her. Soon they were skidding down a steep slope, plowing through brown needles, still damp from a recent rain. The deeper they went, the darker the forest grew. Near the bottom, the air became noticeably cooler, and the floor of the forest was green with ferns. They waded into a grove of knee-high fiddleheads, where they discovered a creek.
Is this the stream that goes to the cascade?
Maybe.
Persephone followed the flow of water downhill. They trudged onward, but nothing looked familiar. The howls were closer than before. The eerie sounds bounced off tree trunks and rocks. Wraith couldn't determine where the howls came from, but he was certain of one thing. There were more than one. They continued downhill through brush and over stones. With each step, it seemed the world grew darker and the forest changed. Evergreens transformed into black curtains. Scattered birches became slender, staring ghosts. Rocks and boulders hidden in shadows took on the shapes of crouching animals waiting to pounce. In the growing dark, Wraith felt closed in, blinded and trapped by the closeness of the trees.
I'm not sure I know where we are.
I don't think any of us does.
Well, at this point, I'm...
She saw movement. Creeping figures emerged from the undergrowth. Three wolves, all black, with sharp white teeth showing through curled lips. The trio came out slowly, too slowly.
Get behind me.
Wraith drew the fray sword and backed up. Malcolm clutched the spear in front of him.
Just point and stick, right?
Wraith whirled around in time to see another wolf rush up from behind. Persephone's outcry startled the animal. It skidded to a halt. Wraith swung, but the wolf retreated out of range.
Take my shield!
Wraith pulled the wooden board off his back and handed it to Persephone. More wolves approached. Wraith saw ferns quivering all around them. This was a large pack, more than a dozen.
Put your backs to each other. Stay close. Don't run.
The wolves closed to within a few feet, swarming, circling. Their tongues hung and dripped. The bravest, a big black wolf with some gray in its coat, inched closer. It darted back when Wraith swung.
Damn it!
Persephone was the first to land a solid blow. Using the edge of the shield, she struck one hard on the snout, causing the animal to scuttle away. Another wolf lunged at Wraith. He was ready. The pack looped around them in a constantly moving circle. Then, abruptly, one would dart in, snapping, causing their tiny triangle to shift. Uneven ground hidden beneath ferns caused Wraith to stumble more than once. If he fell, if any of them did, the wolves would be on them. One deep bite and the smell of blood would put the pack into a frenzy. Bloodlust would overpower fear, and they'd attack as a group. Wraith was certain he could kill two, maybe three, but the wolves would win. A pair of lights was darting through the trees. The flickers appeared, vanished, and reappeared, closer. The wolves hesitated, backed up, and turned toward the noise. Then the lights burst out of the forest. With a torch in each hand, Suri raced at the wolves. She ran straight for the thickest of the pack, swinging the torches. The pack scattered in a panic, splitting apart to let her pass.
Follow me! Move!
The three of them turned and followed Suri's lead through the trees. The pack followed, the leader spearheading the pursuit.
Keep running! Follow the stream!
Suri slowed and dropped to the rear. Wraith stayed back with her as Persephone and Malcolm raced on. The big black wolf with the splash of gray charged, ignoring Wraith, going straight for Suri, who stood her ground and waved the torches to no avail. The leader launched its full weight at the girl. Minna caught the pack leader in midair and bore him to the ground where the two rolled apart. Before the lead wolf could get up, Suri was on it, stabbing with the torch's fiery end. The black wolf yelped and fled, its singed fur smoking. She darted off again. Wraith followed her, struggling to keep up with the live girl as she and Minna sprinted, splashing through the little stream. Persephone and Malcolm stood in a patch of moonlight, looking back at them.
There's a drop!
Persephone pointed down at the edge of the cliff they stood on.
It's a waterfall! Jump! What? Jump!
Wraith slowed as he neared the drop. Suri didn't.
Minna!
Girl and wolf leapt together and disappeared from sight. The wolves were still after them. Persephone and Malcolm looked at Wraith, wide-eyed.
Better than being eaten!
Oh, grandmother of all, be with me!
Wraith looked over the edge, but in the growing darkness, all he saw was a cloud of moon-kissed mist rising from blackness. The wolves knew the ledge was there and slowed their approach. Six animals fanned out in a semicircle, teeth bared, saliva dripping from their mouths.
Oh, Tetlin's witch!
Wraith turned and followed the others. The fall nearly killed Persephone. The impact was only water, no jagged rocks or partially submerged trees, and she was able to get back to the surface easily enough after pushing off the bottom. But the fall itself, that blind drop through total darkness, had almost scared her to death.
Swim behind the falling water!
The massive hollow of bare rock behind the curtain of water suggested that the little stream had once been much bigger. Snow wasn't such a distant memory, and the pool was bitterly cold. Still, Persephone barely noticed. Her pounding heart generated its own heat. She had spent 20 years carrying official news to the other dolls and was one of the few people who'd visited Alain Rist. The tales of her travels had impressed everyone, but the sum total of those two decades paled in comparison with what she'd been through in the last few hours. She had conquered her fear of the forest, survived a murder attempt, received a cryptic message from an ancient tree, battled wolves with nothing more than a wooden shield, and leapt blindly from the top of a waterfall. In one day, her life had gone off its own cliff, and she suspected the bottom hadn't yet been reached. After swimming to retrieve his floating shield, Wraith was the last one out. Suri and Minna looked similar as each shook off the water.
We showed old Char, didn't we, Minna? Gave him a mark he'll remember. Now his name really suits him.
She threw her arms around the wolf.
And you were great, Minna. Slammed him good, you did. Sure showed him this time. You're my hero, Minna.
You fought him before.
Wraith's hair was flattened, slick and sticking to his forehead. His beard rained on the stone.
All the time. Char is a rude neighbor. He and Minna don't get along. He's jealous because Minna loves me more.
Can they reach us?
Yes, they'll be here shortly. Always takes them a while to run back around the ridge. I keep waiting for them to try jumping, but they haven't yet. Char isn't very bright.
Persephone looked worriedly at Suri's soaked torches.
What are we going to do?
Disappear.
What?
The sound was not the sort to provide reassurance when facing a ravenous pack of wolves while trapped behind a waterfall. Persephone looked to Wraith but found little comfort in his eyes. The Dorian warrior looked back with an equally tense expression.
This way.
Suri stepped to a crack in the rock. Persephone discovered it was more than just a crack. It was a cleft, wide but low. All but Minna had to duck as they moved through.
Where are we going?
Over here.
An eerie green glow pierced the darkness as a door opened in the rock. Suri waved for them to follow, and once more she led by example, stepping inside. With the sounds of splashing right behind, no one hesitated. Heedless of what new horror she might find, Persephone rushed through the stone wall into the new world of green light. Suri shut the door. All four of them, plus Minna, stood in a chamber about 50 feet across. Hewn from solid rock, the room was grander than Dol Ren's great hall. Thick pillars carved from natural stone formed sturdy supports. Austere blocks formed a fortified hall of strength, precision, and uniformity. The clever use of space and tapering angles of square columns and ribbed archways possessed a grace and beauty that awed Persephone.
What is this place?
Running in a line around the ceiling, down the edge of walls, and along the borders of the floor were chiseled markings, strange patterns forming an unbroken chain. Stylized pictures were carved on every surface, short people fighting taller ones. Embedded in the center of the floor, where a roundhouse's fire would have been, a large green stone glowed with a steady light. Although not bright, it shone enough to fill the room with an eerie radiance.
What world have we stumbled into?
An old one.
Is this your home?
No. Stone walls are almost as bad as wooden ones. I live in Hawthorne Glen, one of the loveliest little places you'll ever see.
Is this one of those crimble doors? The ones that lead to Nog?
Nope. They can't get in.
Wraith moved forward and touched the stone's decorative border that marked the place where they had entered. Except for the carving, no discernible evidence of an opening remained, not even a crack.
How did you open it?
Wraith returned the weapon to his belt.
And how is it sealed?
The door will open if you press the diamond shape in the design at the top. On the outside, there's no design, just a little rock sticking out a bit. You have to feel around to find it, and it's too high for the pack to reach.
Persephone saw no other exit.
We're trapped, then.
The pack will eventually get frustrated and leave. We have a while before they do.
Suri pulled off her cape and draped it over a horizontal peg mounted on the wall, which seemed put there for that exact purpose. Neither she nor Minna appeared concerned.
Old Char is stubborn. We'll spend the night to be sure.
When it became clear the pack wasn't getting in, Persephone relaxed and allowed her shoulders to droop. Now she noticed the cold. She removed Wraith's Laymor and wrung water from it and her hair. Snapping the blanket-sized cloth, she wrapped herself again.
What made you come back for us?
Persephone moved closer to the glowing stone, hoping it would be warm like a fire. It wasn't. Suri untied her deer-tooth belt.
Got your message?
This caused them all to look at her.
We didn't send any message.
Suri stripped off her vest and skirt, hanging both alongside her cape, leaving her naked. Persephone glanced toward Malcolm and Wraith. They had discreetly turned their attention to the marks on the walls. Persephone appreciated the gesture, even if Suri didn't seem to care. Suri's tattoos weren't confined to her face. Similar designs graced her whole body. A pair of twisted tendrils ran along her collarbones, and another line ran straight down the center of her chest before curling around to her back. Thick, swirling bands like a tree's roots encircled her arms from elbows to shoulders. The girl wasn't as thin as Persephone had expected. Suri's hip bones did stand out, and ribs were easily counted, but the weight the girl did have was all muscle.
If you didn't send a message, then Wogan must have been in a generous mood. I wasn't even to the pines when I saw a squirrel drop his acorn and run back down the tree to get it. So Minna and I raced back as fast as we could. It took me a while to find you. Where were you headed to, anyway? I thought you were going back to the doll.
We were, but we missed a turn.
I'll say. You're going exactly the wrong way. Being touched as you are from living within walls as you do, I figured you were hunting Grin. I followed your trail, and you were heading straight for her cave.
That wasn't our intention. We were lost.
Should have thrown a bit of salt on your trail. That would have kept the leshes away.
Wraith sent a sharp look at Malcolm, who shrugged.
How did you find this place?
Wraith was still looking at the chiseled markings that lined the room, not knowing where else to look under the circumstances.
Tura showed me.
Suri busied herself by squeezing the wetness out of her clothes.
Not many secrets in this forest that old Tura didn't know. There are 5 of these stone rooms under the crescent. Most are nicer than this. Pretty metal shirts are inside some. I tried one on. It was real heavy. Another room has horns, pipes, and a box with strings that make wonderful sounds when you pluck them.
Satisfied with her clothes, Suri walked behind one of the pillars and returned with her arms filled with blankets. She handed them out. Thick, soft cloths, one of which Persephone draped around herself. Suri wrapped one over her shoulders and lay down beside the green stone. Minna snuggled up alongside the mystic.
This is a roll, a Derg safe house.
Malcolm pulled his blanket up like a cloak, complete with a hood.
A remnant of the Belgric War.
The what?
A war between the Frey and the Derg, who used hidden places like this to retreat to or stage attacks from. That's where the term Derg comes from. It means vile mole in the Frey language.
How do you know that?
I lived with the Frey.
You fought for them?
Persephone focused her sight on his spear.
No, nothing like that. I was a slave.
Malcolm touched the metal band around his neck.
Oh.
Wasn't so bad. Alonrist is a beautiful place. I suspect my life was better than it would have been in one of the rune villages. I was warm, safe, had plenty of food, and a lot to learn.
But you ran away?
Yes. Funny how being well cared for isn't enough. My labors were light, and as long as I performed my tasks, I wasn't poorly treated. In some ways, I was living a princely life, but...
He pulled his blanket tighter.
Wraith and I haven't had a decent meal in days. We're always wet, cold, hungry, and dirty beyond belief. And yet I much prefer my new life over the days spent in Alonrist.
He sat down near the glowing stone.
Fulfillment comes from striving to succeed, to survive by your own wits and strength. Such things make each of us who we are. You lose that in captivity. You lose yourself, and that loss saps your capacity for joy. I think comfort can be a curse, an addiction that, without warning or notice, erodes hope. You know what I mean?
He looked at each of them.
Live with it long enough and the prison stops being the walls or the guards. Instead, it's the fear you can't survive on your own, the belief you aren't as capable or as worthy as others. I think everyone has the capacity to do great things, to rise above their everyday lives. They just need a little push now and then.
Minna's head lifted, her ears tilted toward the door.
Oh. Don't be a stubborn fool, Char! Run!
What's going on?
Suri and Minna got to their feet, focused on the sounds beyond the door. Neither left the light of the green stone, but both stared fearfully at the closed entrance.
No!
Not a sound. Suri's tattoos masked much of her expression, but tears ran down her cheeks.
You should have run, you stupid fool.
Suri, what happened?
From his belt, Wraith drew his sword again. It flashed green, reflecting the glow of the stone. Malcolm grabbed his spear, letting his blanket fall. Dust and bits of rock fell.
What is that?
It's Crane the Brown.
For the first time, Persephone saw unabashed fear on the girl's face.
Can she get in?
On her hind legs, she's twice as tall as I am.
Is there any way to brace the door?
No.
Will it hold against the pounding?
It is just a bear, right? Would she try to get in here? Why would she try to get in here?
She wants us for dinner, I think.
But why? I'm pretty sure she just killed more than one wolf. She should have plenty of food already, more than she could possibly eat.
The power of the blow shook the room. A small metal shield that Persephone hadn't seen earlier fell off the wall.
Why would a bear ignore a feast to throw itself against a stone wall?
They braced for the attack. They waited. Suri walked to the door, her cheeks still wet. She placed her hands against the stone.
She's gone.
There is an old clan saying, when a stranger comes to the door, always be generous because it might be a god in disguise. In my experience, gods do not use disguises. They are too arrogant. The Book of Brynn.
The next morning, they found 6 dead wolves outside the Rall. No sign of Grin the Brown, only the bodies and the blood. Suri paused for several minutes beside the wolf with the burn mark on its fur. The men kept their blankets. Wraith also took the metal shield that had fallen during Grin's attack. Remarkably light, it was decorated with the same fancy circles and designs as those on the walls of the Rall.
Shall we draw straws for it?
You can have it. I prefer my spear, and I need both hands to use that.
The morning mist filled the forest. In the week he and Malcolm had spent in the Crescent Forest, Wraith had seen it many times, but the haze was still unnerving. In Doria, the few trees were stunted, emaciated things. He'd grown up in open, rocky highlands of grass and lichen-covered stone, and it felt unnatural to be surrounded by trees and wrapped in fog. He felt that they were walking into a perilous world of guarded secrets and murky mysteries. Trees appeared and faded in the mist, as if by choice, silent sentinels of spirits and gods. This was a place of enchantments, a place where anything could happen. Suri led them back through the falls and up to the ridge, taking time to explain where they had gone wrong. The young mystic pointed at trees as if one could be distinguished from another. When she was done, all three nodded, but Wraith remained clueless. By the time they returned to the cascade where they had originally met, the mist was in full retreat and lingered only in isolated low-lying areas. The two bodies they'd left behind there were gone. Persephone scanned the rocks with apprehensive eyes.
Who could have taken Sackett and Adler away?
Oh, spirits, more wolves, Grin the Brown, Wogan, or maybe the people of the Dal.
That last one troubled him, but his empty stomach concerned him more. He hoped Persephone would make good on the promise of a meal, but he refrained from asking. They hadn't spoken much that morning. The quiet of the wood demanded silence. When they finally cleared the tree line and returned to the open field, all of them, except Suri, gained a spring in their step. Once more, the blue sky stretched above, and the unhindered face of the sun shone down. The great wooden wall of Dal Ren crowned the hill of spring flowers. Persephone held the hem of her dress up as she walked, exposing sodden sandals speckled with bits of grass. Wet grass soaked their legs as they climbed the slope where already Wraith could smell food. As they neared the top, they were seen.
That's an all clear, right?
Yes. It would be 2 blasts for an alert and 3 for a call to arms threat.
Same as in Doria.
Oh, I'm just so glad to be back. I don't think I've ever missed this place so much. It feels like I've been away for a year instead of a day. A long and incredibly frightening year. I'm going to sleep well tonight.
Suri stopped.
I expect you can find your way from here, ma'am.
Yes, Suri. I don't think I can get lost within sight of my home. But won't you please come in with us? The least I can do is get you a meal. You saved my life. You have to let me do that much.
The girl glanced at the wolf.
What do you think, Minna? Their food was pretty good.
Come, eat. Spend the night. You can leave fresh in the morning.
One more night won't make us touch it, Minna. But if you see me wearing shoes, bite me.
Wraith discovered that Dal Ren was nothing like Dal Doria. The village was huge and packed with roundhouses built with the luxury of logs sealed with daub. The thickly thatched roofs formed tall, cone-shaped peaks. Torches lined gravel paths that snaked between the homes, and a broad gravel avenue ran up the center of the village to the lodge and the common well. Chickens, pigs, and goats wandered freely underfoot. Filling gaps between dark soil gardens were fire pits and wood piles.
They use wood for everything, with piles of it to spare. Wood is more precious than metal back home. Here they burn it, even though it's no longer winter. It's not even night!
The vertical logs surrounding the village were crucial for protection, but even inside that protective wall, wooden fences bordered every garden.
Probably the only way to keep the goats and pigs out.
Wraith checked Minna, but the wolf paid no attention to any of the livestock and stayed at the side of Suri the Mystic. Dominating everything was the lodge. The huge building was four times the size of Daria's lodge. Squared beams braced the peaks and framed great doors. Pillars, formed by binding together the trunks of six giant pine trees, stood on either side of the porch. On the left side of the path leading to the lodge, two braziers flanked a stone statue of a god, or goddess, maybe. The sculpture stood only 3 feet tall and had vaguely human features, dominated by large breasts and wide hips. Durians had their own gods, the Minogan, who were actually three gods, the gods of war. Dalren's god looked friendlier. There were more people here than Wraith had ever seen gathered in one place. As many as 100 walked the pathways, worked the well, or tended gardens. Most were women and children. One of the few men he saw was a potter, a crippled creature who sat huddled over an odd spinning wheel, shaping wet clay.
A cripple? How wealthy is this place that it can afford to feed a cripple?
His answer was visible in the faces of those around him. In Daria, those who survived the winter looked like skeletons. These men and women were downright healthy, and dressed in neatly tailored tunics, thick woolen laymores, and breckenmores large enough for double folds. Most of the clothes were dyed or patterned in one fashion or another. Wraith felt embarrassed for his crude leather and thin checkered cloth, a feeling compounded by all the curious stares greeting them. Everywhere he and Malcolm went, there had been stares, but these were more pronounced. One stared so hard that he walked into a fence post and nearly fell. Everyone watched, in shock, as if the members of his group each had three heads and a tail. What surprised Wraith was that they weren't restricting their attention to Malcolm and himself. As Persephone led them up the gravel path toward the lodge, people stared at her most of all. And there were whispers, lots of whispers. Her name muttered more than once. They were nearly to the lodge's steps when a woman frantically motioned them closer. She stood in a roundhouse's doorway.
Seth, where have you been?
Persephone looked at her companions and gestured toward the woman.
Wraith, Malcolm, Suri, this is Sarah, the one I told you about. She's one of Wren's best weavers. Her husband, Delwyn...
You must come inside.
Sarah grabbed hold of Persephone's wrist and pulled her inside the roundhouse. The men and Suri looked at each other, then followed. The roundhouse was comfortable, filled with wool, and its continuous wall was covered in paintings. A spinning wheel and a large loom dominated the space. A young woman was working the spinning wheel, and a girl beside her was carding wool. Both stopped their work as the group entered. Sarah wrung her hands as if strangling an invisible chicken.
What really happened? I don't believe what's been said, any of it, not for a second.
What are you talking about? Sarah, what's wrong?
Sarah, whose braided hair framed a kind but troubled face, glanced nervously at Wraith and Malcolm. She took hold of Persephone's hands.
Hegner has accused you of murder in Sackett and Adler.
What? Hegner? Hegner is here? I thought he had run off.
He said you tried to kill him, too.
Sarah cast a glance at Wraith and Malcolm.
And that you had help.
Persephone seemed too dumbfounded to speak. She stared at each of them in shock.
Why in the name of the grand mother of all couldn't you have killed the stump, too?
They all turned to the woman working the spinning wheel, who had been silent until now. Her long black hair wreathed a face of high cheekbones, a sensual mouth, and a delicate nose, all of which paled in comparison with her eyes, big, dark, deep, and intense, like peering over the edge of a sheer drop. She wore a simple, thin dress, but draped over her curves, it came alive. In legends, women like her would either lure men to disaster or raise them to fame. The dilemma for the would-be hero was determining which.
Kunigar's making me marry that cretin. Moya, please.
Outside the open doorway, people gathered. They spoke quietly to one another and pointed to the group inside Sarah's roundhouse.
I didn't kill anyone. Hegnar attacked me. All three of them did.
That's not the story he's telling.
What possible reason would I have to... I need to get this cleared up.
Persephone turned and walked out. Wraith followed the others out, even though he was as uncomfortable in crowds as he had been in the forest. Too many people were like too many trees. In Duria, villages consisted of only a few families. But here, nearly 200 people gathered and followed them, with more spilling out of roundhouses. All of them had the same rosy-cheeked, well-fed faces. Faces without pockmarks or the deep lines cut by blistering winds. Also, no scars, broken teeth, or severed fingers, which a life of warfare bestowed. And not one carried a weapon. Wraith expected Persephone to confront those just outside Sarah's house, but instead she pushed through them and marched down the broad pathway past the well and up on the steps of the lodge. At the top, she stopped, pivoted, and faced the people of the Dahl. She waited for a moment while the crowd gathered.
Yesterday, Sackett, Adler, and Hegnar tried to kill me in the forest. They chased me up a cascade, and Sackett and Adler both died when they slipped and fell on the rocks. I don't know why they attacked me. They didn't
That's not how Hegnar tells it.
A stocky man stepped through the lodge's doorway behind Persephone. He wore the silver torque of leadership. Wraith's first thought was that the man's beard was short for a leader, and he disliked the chieftain's eyes, the left one being slightly higher than the right. The only visible scar was a recent one, still pink and healing, hardly the mark of an experienced warrior. Waylon, Doria's chieftain, had a beard down to his chest, few teeth, and a face like beaten copper. That was the mark of experience, the sign of a survivor. This Wren chieftain did have one thing no one in Doria had. He carried an axe. At the sight of it, Wraith pushed to the foot of the steps. This wasn't his clan, and this man wasn't his chieftain. Wraith didn't have a stake, other than a promised meal, in whatever dispute was about to start, but he had come to like Persephone. Undecided only a day before, he knew if there was a fight, he'd back her. As he took his place beside her on the porch, Persephone turned to face her chieftain.
Then Hegnar's a liar, Conniger.
Is he? If Sackett, Adler, and Hegnar sought to kill you, why aren't you dead? Do you expect anyone to believe two experienced hunters slipped and fell? Are you saying you had nothing to do with their deaths?
What I'm
Hegnar!
Saying...
Hegnar!
You were there. You're the one she's accusing. Tell everyone what you witnessed.
The one-handed man emerged from the lodge.
We were out hunting. Found her on the cascades with those two fellas there.
He pointed with his good hand at Wraith and Malcolm. Eyes shifted toward them, and those closest inched away, which was fine by Wraith.
We thought Persephone needed help. That one being Durian and all. Could have been in trouble. She must not have seen us yet, because she kissed the big one.
A woman sporting a circlet of flowers over braided hair also emerged from the lodge. She stood to the side and slightly behind Conniger. Hearing Hegnar's words, she began shaking her head while looking at Persephone.
Reglan isn't dead a month and you're already carrying on with another man. Or were you seeing this lover before our chieftain died? Were you stealing away into the forest while your husband was out avenging your son?
You lousy lying cull!
Moya pushed forward. She might have reached the steps if Sarah and the others hadn't caught her.
Watch your mouth!
Outbursts like that are why we ordered your marriage.
From her use of we, Wraith concluded that she must be the second chair, Conniger's wife.
You're a wild animal, Moya. Hegnar will beat some respect into you.
Moya thrashed but was held back.
Go on, Hegnar.
Yeah, well, she certainly looked willing. Had her arms around him and all, but you never know. He might have been forcing himself on her. We climbed the cascade. And when Persephone saw us, she told them we couldn't be allowed to come back to the Dahl. She said it would ruin everything if people found out. That's when these two attacked. The big one has a sword, two in fact. We didn't stand a chance. He killed Sackett and Adler. Would have killed me too if I hadn't run.
Why are you saying these things? You know none of that is true.
Most of Clan Wren now filled the broad pathway leading from the lodge steps to the front gate, where they stood shoulder to shoulder on the crushed gravel. A few kids were standing up on roughly cut benches near fire pits to try and see over the heads of their parents. Conniger raised his hands to quiet the crowd.
It's your turn, Persephone. What motive do you put forth? I can see no reason why three of our most distinguished men would attack you without provocation.
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out since it happened.
She gestured toward Malcolm, Wraith, and Suri.
But these three were with me, and they can testify as witnesses on my behalf.
Conniger shook his head.
No, it's only natural they would take your side. We would need someone impartial. Was there anyone else?
No. But can't the same be said of Hegner, who are his impartial witnesses?
You make a good point. But two men are dead. That fact isn't in dispute. I find it difficult to accept that two experienced hunters would merely fall to their deaths.
He focused on Wraith.
Andorians are well known for their murderous ways.
Wraith shoved the two people in front of him aside and climbed the steps to stand before Hegner.
He called me a murderer. In Doria, an accuser will defend his claims in battle. I imagine this custom holds true in all Dals.
He glanced at Conniger.
I demand that he take it back, along with his lies against this woman, or we'll let the gods decide the truth. We can settle this matter right now.
His hand rested on the handle of the sword.
You challenge a one-handed man. How like a Dorian.
What does that matter? If he's telling the truth, the gods will award him victory even if he had no hands. Or don't you believe in the gods? How like a southerner.
You're violent, disrespectful, and no doubt a liar. Do you see how you're proving Hegner's point? You don't think we can see what has really gone on?
She faced the crowd.
What more proof is needed? The killer who helped Persephone is a Dorian.
The gods will tell the truth of it.
Wraith moved toward Hegner. Conniger stepped between them. Wraith had hoped to get a meal, a decent night's sleep, and maybe some food for the road. Instead, he found himself accused of murder and facing off with a Dal chieftain in front of a herd of pampered villagers. Perhaps Shagan wasn't really a god, but he sure must have been favored by them. Since he had killed the Frey, Wraith's life had been cursed. His only consolation was that it couldn't get any worse. Everyone's attention turned toward the far end of the broad pathway as men scrambled to seal the gate with a thick wooden beam. From the wall, the sentry gave warning.
The gods are here!
Fear ripped through those gathered. All eyes turned to their chieftain, but Conniger didn't inspire confidence. He stared at the gate and swallowed hard.
Turning at the crossroads! Definitely coming this way!
What do we do?
Tressa looked to Conniger expectantly, but he didn't move, didn't speak. Persephone, on the other hand, spoke up loudly.
How many are there?
9, 12, 7 gods and 2 other things.
What do we do?
The chieftain ran a hand over his mouth. He looked left and then right.
Conniger, you need to go out there. Meet them on the road before they reach the Dal. Talk to them. I'll come with you to translate.
When Conniger looked at her, she expected anger. Maybe he would strike her. A slap would have been preferable to what he gave. A look of terror.
What?
He thinks we're already dead.
I'll do no such thing. That would be suicide. Our walls are thick, and our gate strong. We'll be safe here.
Persephone searched the crowd and found Malcolm at the front.
Malcolm, will the walls hold them?
Malcolm moved to her on the steps.
Your walls are just made of wood. Even stone would only slow them down.
Persephone watched as mothers took the hands of children, their heads turning back and forth between the gate and Conniger. Husbands held their wives close, and tears formed in the eyes of many as hope faded. They all began to understand that their chieftain wouldn't save them.
There are things beyond the control of humankind, and the will of the gods is one of them.
They're on the graves in line!
Persephone turned her attention to Wraith as he stood on the steps, one hand still on his sword. He was big, his shoulders broad, his face stern. The God Killer.
Everyone, listen to me. This is Wraith of Doria, the God Killer.
She looked at him, trying to determine their chances in his expression. He was definitely angry, maybe even furious, but she saw no fear.
Cobb says there are 9 of them. Wraith, how many did you fight last time? Wraith?
13!
Persephone was startled to hear Sarah's daughter Bryn speak up.
According to the stories, he faced Shagan and 12 of his men. After he defeated the leader, All the others fled.
Fewer this time. Can you do it again?
Wraith exchanged a hard look with Malcolm.
There's a big difference between that story and what really happened.
Perhaps. But if these gods plan on repeating what they did at Daria, then you'd die with us. You might as well try.
Malcolm, you're sure the gate won't...
No more than a garden fence.
So, there really isn't a choice then, is there?
No! You can't let them in!
But we have the God Killer!
A smile bloomed across Bryn's face. Hers was the only one.
They'll probably run when they find out he's here.
Bryn, for the love of Mari, be quiet.
All right. Tell them to open the gate.
As Wraith descended the steps, the crowd parted to grant him a path.
Open the gate!
Persephone turned to Malcolm.
He can do this, right?
I guess we'll see.
They're gods! Men can't fight gods!
All of Dol Rin watched the God Killer walk alone down the pathway.
Conniker, you'd better hope you're wrong.
Wraith didn't fear death, but he had hoped to get a bit more out of life before it came. To marry someday, to be a better parent than his father. He wouldn't spend his life off fighting, leaving his family to fend for themselves. Coming so close to Dol Rin had been stupid. He could have veered around it and been miles away if only he'd stayed in the forest's eaves and pushed south as planned. Staying with Malcolm had been an even bigger lapse of judgment. He could have, should have, abandoned him at the roadhouse. Traveling with a child would have been faster than trying to cover ground with Malcolm, but getting involved with Persephone was his worst mistake of all.
How did I let her problems become mine?
Wraith's father wouldn't have been trapped so easily. Knowing better than to let emotions cloud judgment. Wraith hadn't learned that lesson, despite hearing it so often. After years of trying to avoid following in Herkimer's footsteps, it was ironic that he would die in the same foolish way. Just one more stupid Durian slain by a Frey. There would be a difference, though. He would be the last.
The worst that can happen is you'll die.
That was a favorite saying of his father's. He'd heard it countless times. For a Durian living on a plain of burning rock and freezing snow, death wasn't feared.
Everyone dies. After this life, it might even be a step up.
Everyone does die. And in Daria, most died young. Wraith thought about that as he kept his eyes focused on the gate.